This is the House Special Committee on Budget, Subcommittee on Human Services and Public Safety. Today we'll be dealing with the Department of Corrections budget, both the budget bill and capital construction bills. I'd like to begin by opening a work session on House Bill 5156. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the subcommittee, in front of you is a memo, which I'll use for part of the presentation, and the table. And I'll move back and forth. As you know, this is the Department of Corrections operating budget. This is, I guess, the second largest budget you'll see in the subcommittee after DHS. The budget has been changed with one item dealing with services and supply reduction from the draft I sent a couple days ago to you. Real briefly, on the front page there, I do have a graph that shows basically what's happening to the caseload for the prisons, which is the primary driver of this budget, along with the community corrections caseload, which has a smaller impact on the budget. These numbers have been updated for the April 2005 forecast. You'll see that in a couple places, or more than a couple places. And I'll just move into the work session detail. The recommended changes that we are making today from the governor's budget on page 2 of the memo. Real briefly, there'll be changes to the debt service needs after some savings were identified both in the actual debt service need from the time the governor's budget was put together based on more up-to-date language or up-to-date information, and another $2.4 million was found as an offset from the term has been used, scrubbing trustee accounts, using savings or existing balances in trustee accounts for former COP issuance that can be used to offset the need for general fund this biennium. This is a one-time savings.
Now, like I said, when you use the term COP, I need an explanation as far as whether you're saying that this will be borrowed money or not.
Mr. Chair, COPs, of course, are similar to bond certificate of participation. They're a debt instrument. We issue those. There have been a long series of COPs issued for Department of Correction facilities over the past 10-plus years. In some of those issues, money has been put aside into the trustee accounts for paying it, for making sure there's balances in those accounts. Department of Administrative Services and the Department of Corrections went back, reviewed the need for the balances in those accounts, and identified $2.4 million of other fund balances that they do not require for those COPs. So that is used to offset general fund debt service in 05-07.
Okay, this is previously borrowed money.
Right, previous. It's not new money. It's already out there. In this budget, in this recommendation, the construction of the Madras facility is assumed to continue as scheduled in the governor's budget. Construction will continue and and open in late 2006. As I said, the prison population forecast has been updated, reflecting about $10 million in savings. The same for the community corrections caseloads have been updated, and the funding for community corrections has been increased from the governor's budget, basically offsetting most of the cuts to $190.1 million level, up from the $174 million in the governor's budget. There are $3.3 million in general fund reductions for the 3% reduction. This is the change from the previous memo. That is it would have been $6.3 million based on the 3% across the board, but the co-chair listened to arguments, and I'll talk about that when we get to that point in the budget, and added $3 million back. And then there are various other reductions, including an $8 million undesignated cut. The first division is the operations division. This is by far the largest division, both in money and in staff. It is basically the bulk of this division is the operation of the 12 existing facilities, and when they come online, the two new facilities that are opening. It also includes health care, mental health, pharmacy costs, which also add a significant amount to it. On a table on page 3 of the memo is a table that, at least for the governor's budget, sort of breaks down this budget into a little more detail. Again, the 12 institutions are by far the largest portion of the budget, but you can see that health care and pharmacy costs total just under $100 million in this budget for those two items, so they are very important items. If you move to the table or to the worksheets, I will go through those starting on page 4 of 26. These will not go in order because Orbit spits them out in an order that I don't think flows very well, so they will jump around between divisions. But we're starting on page 4 of 26. Package 090, these are the typical package and is in almost any budget that's general fund. It reflects the reductions made in the governor's budget from the essential budget level, and there's a total of $6.7 million reduction in this division. 2.3 of that represents a reduction by not recognizing the inflation factor for a number of items. $2.8 million is in a reduction to alcohol and drug treatment, as well as educational cognitive programs. This is a cut that should have been made in the transitional division, and a technical adjustment takes care of that. There are also reductions relating to nurses' positions, more efficient methods in the hospital watch, and $300,000 offsetting federal funds from a proposed work camp. I will say that a couple of those last items are probably not doable at this time, and they're working through ways to fill those holes. That's package 090. Package 132 on page 5 of 26. This is the result of a Secretary of State's audit, which questioned the way that overtime was used in various 24-hour facilities, including the prison system. What this package does is creates 27 new positions, 25.5 FTE, but funds those by cutting the overtime, reducing the overtime line in the budget and moving it to pay for those positions. It should be noted that if you took the same basic number of hours that the overtime had provided versus the new staff providing, that would have been $500,000 in savings. But as I said before, there are other areas in this budget, this division's budget, there will likely be holes, and that I recommend that the $500,000 be left in there to fill some of those holes or help fill some of those holes. Package 801 is the basic LFO adjustments for PERS and the AG rate. Package 803 is the $8 million in undesignated reductions, which is part of the co-chair's house co-chair's budget. It is will likely be taken in vacancy savings because personnel costs are really the largest portion of this budget, and it's hard to cut in areas like health care in those areas. In the past, there have been reductions like this last biennium of a comparable amount, slightly more than the $8 million, but it will mean that the department will have to take actions to make sure that vacancy savings are generated to stay within their budget.
I have a question on 801. It says that you've got a PERS deduction. If 803 deals with vacancies, does the 801 calculations, are they made on actual people that are in positions or on the approved positions?
801 is based on the budgeted positions, so not on actuals. So the $8 million has not been adjusted for any of the PERS reductions. It was purely a straight across the board reduction in the co-chair's mind. In other packages where positions have either been eliminated or added, we do make adjustments for that PERS reduction.
Okay, so as far as 801 is concerned, the last sentence you said applies? If there were adjustments made for vacancies, or there were not adjustments made for vacancies?
There were not adjustments made for the vacancy. Well, let me make sure. The PERS reductions are made on a position, whether it's full or not, whatever its budgeted rate is. So I guess if the position was vacant, the PERS savings was applied, or the PERS rate change is applied to either the position being full or vacant.
So the answer to Package 801 is that the PERS reductions here were based on actual employees, not on positions approved.
No, it was applied to the approved number position and budget of positions. So if that position was vacant, the PERS adjustment was made to that position. If it was filled, it was also made to that position.
But there would be no PERS if it was vacant.
That is true, except that the position, the department still gets the money because it's a budgeted position.
Okay. So it's part of the extra money that just gets used.
Yeah.
Same thing with health care and all these other costs.
Right. Because you don't know if a position is going to be vacant when we're passing the budget today. It may become vacant halfway through the biennium, or the positions that are vacant today may not be vacant 3 weeks from now.
Okay. Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Doug, is there a conflict or an inconsistency between Package 803 and 132? I mean, on one hand, we're increasing staff positions in response to an audit, but on the other hand, the vacancy savings that are going to be driven by Package 803, isn't that going to put us back in the same position of overtime and not effectively saving the dollars?
One impact of 803 could result. I don't know if it's not a direct relationship, but one of the impacts of 803 may generate additional overtime. In package 132, they identified three areas where there had been high use of overtime, and that was in the hospital watch, some positions, some areas in Eastern Oregon Correctional Institution in Pendleton, and inmate escorts.
Can you explain why, if we're taking $8 million, primarily coming from vacancy savings, we don't have a reduction in positions?
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, it is an undesignated reduction. This was the same way it was taken last year. The co-chairs did not. There is a similar Senate reduction. The co-chairs decided not to take positions as part of that, and these positions then would be funded and rolled up into the next biennium as the budget is built. This was the decision made by the co-chairs to do it this way.
Okay. Thank you.
Package 810 is the change that is made to update the budget for the latest forecast, which was made in April 2005. The governor's budget is based on the October 2004. Over the entire budget, there were savings in the prison side of over $10 million, 9.1 of which is in this division. Package 811 is a number of technical adjustments. You'll find these in almost every division. This package, there are no net general fund savings. It is just moving things around, cleaning up from their reorganization that they had during this biennium, as well as moving money back into this division that had mistakenly been taken out as part of the cut to A&D services. Again, there's no net impact to the general fund across the entire department. Package 812 is a reduction in the canteen program. This is a reduction made by the co-chairs. It is based on taking a look at the priority list that was reviewed by the joint subcommittee and taking a look at those items at the bottom of the list.
Representative Hanson.
Mr. Wilson, I thought that the canteen was totally self-supporting based on sales of items to the inmates. I'm trying to understand where we can get savings out of that. Is there some part of this that I'm missing?
And Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, you're not missing something. In terms of when the priority list was put together, two positions were allocated to the canteen program by mistake in the numbers I got from the agency. They told me that after the fact. But in terms of the priority list, that $227,000 was listed as general fund, and the co-chairs on both sides did take that reduction. So in a sense, there is no reduction decrease there, but there is you know, another, shall I say, another undesignated reduction of $227,000.
Wouldn't it sort of be our responsibility to fix it before we move it too far forward?
Well, was this money needed to begin with, or was it inappropriately placed in that category? You're just pulling it out.
Mr. Chair, it was inappropriately put in that category as the data was presented to us. This would then, I mean, the net effect of this reduction is very similar to the $8 million reduction we took. It will be an undesignated reduction.
Does it have a negative effect on this program?
It will not, I don't think, directly affect the canteen program. It will affect other operations in this division. Keep in mind, this division is around, what, $650 million worth. Package 814 is the 3% reduction that you'll see throughout. This is the largest adjustment. It, instead of a 3% reduction, this really represents about a 1.2% reduction in, and that is not noted in it, in my notes here. The co-chair did add back $3 million department-wide from the original 3% reduction. That was based in large part on taking a look at how this agency differs from, shall I say, the average state agency. This agency, since it runs a 24-hour institution and also has medical care needs, this is really different from, let's say, the Department of Consumer and Business Affairs, or it just has very different components to it than the average state department and, or state agency, and for that reason the money was added back in. And $2.75 million was added back in of the $3 million. And, Mr. Chair, that is the extent of the changes in the budget. If you return to the memo on page 3, there are a number of issues here. As in any large budget, the budget can't contemplate everything and keep up to date, since it's a two-year budget. So these are some things that I think just you need to know and put on the record. The department is dealing with a few cases dealing with dental care. A recent summary judgment in one of the federal cases raises the potential that the department will have to increase its dental access to dental services by prison, increase the level they currently provide. There are a number of estimates. I put this at roughly $2 to $3 million. For 0507, that is not in the budget, that could be added, that could be increased cost as a result of these dental care cases. There continues to be another number of compensation issues. As in other agencies, they have a hard time recruiting people in the medical field, specifically nurses, as an example. And there are discussions going on with DAS around some compensation issues. As I mentioned before, some of the reductions assumed in the governor's budget may not materialize, specifically the federal work camp and the nurses' pool concept. If these do not materialize, the department will have to fill that gap in some other way, but I did leave that $500,000 in that could have been taken out for the overtime savings. There is also the potential that the federal funds in this budget, which all come from the State Criminal Alien Assistance Program, may not materialize. There's $4.3 million in it. The President's proposed budget for 2006 federal fiscal year does not include this funding. He has done that in the past, and the Congress has generally restored these funds. But there is that potential. I just note that the availability of mental health professionals on the eastern side of the state is not there, and the department is taking a look, and I think has already started moving some of the mental health, those with significant mental health needs, to the western part of the state, where the supply of mental health services and professionals are in larger supply. There are some costs in doing that, transportation being one of them. I mentioned the $1.7 million reduction services and supply.
Mr. Chair. Representative Wisniewski.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson is So with the beds that are available in the eastern facility will be taken by inmates who do not have a problem, so that will just...
Well, let's say their mental health problems aren't as significant as the ones moving over. So it's just they're moving that population over, and those beds will be filled.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Doug, on that mental health issue, is that co-mingled in with the alcohol and drug treatment stuff because of how those diagnoses are coming out as whatever, both mental health and drug issues?
Mr. Chair, Representative Boone, I mean, budgetarily, they're two separate items.
I know.
But their treatment models, I am sure, take that into account. But there are, you know, units specifically for mental health treatment also.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, given the commingling of those two issues.
And I was going to wait till the end, but maybe could I go ahead and just ask this, Chair? On Package 811, I thought I heard you say something about alcohol and drug treatment reductions, and so I was going to ask you about that at the end, and maybe this is a good time to elaborate a little bit.
In the governor's budget, Mr. Chair, Representative Boone, there was a $2 million reduction in A&D services. I was going to talk to that when we get to transitional services. They were mistakenly taken out of this budget when the budget for those services are actually in the transitional services.
Okay.
And Package 811 just made sure the numbers lined up.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, I think that finishes the operations division, which is the largest division in this budget.
Okay.
In terms of my recommendations.
Representative Hanna.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would make a motion that the committee approve LFO's recommended changes to the Department of Corrections Operation Division, including the policy packages as listed and described by LFO.
Okay, Representative Hanna moves that we accept LFO's recommendations, including the policy packages set forth for the Operations Division budget of House Bill 5156. Is there discussion? Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, I'll be voting against this motion. I'm not going to belabor all the points in operations, but probably reserve my comments towards the final decision on this budget and itemize my points of disagreement at that point. Needless to say, I'm sensing that there's some inadequacies here.
Further comments? Is there further objection to this? This is actually just we'll do a vote on the final budget, but we will go ahead and note the objection by Representative Hansen, and the motion carries. Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Chair, the next is the transitional services. This basically has two major components, this division. The first is, this is where the community correction grants are. We'll describe those here in a minute. That makes up the majority of the funding in this division. And then the second are the various treatment services that are designed to reduce the risk of future criminal conduct, including alcohol and drug, workforce development, education, cognitive program, are also part of this division. If you look on page 5 of the memo, there is another table that sort of, in terms of the governor's budget and past budgets, divides up this division into the various components. As you can see, that again, the largest share are the community correction grants that go out to the counties for parole, probation activities, as well as in incarceration of what is referred to as the 1145 population, or those felons that are serving less than 1 year or 12 months. On the table, the work session document, page 15 of 26, is the transitional services division. There are a number of packages here. Package 8083 is purely updating the budget for what has happened. As you recall, Lynn and Douglas counties have opted out of the community corrections program. And as a result, the employees that do community corrections in those counties are part now of the department, and there is an increase of 48 positions for those two counties. These aren't necessarily new positions. They were generally positions that were county, that were county positions before. The way this has worked is county, this, these two counties opted out. The formula that allocates community correction grants out to the counties continues, including Linn and Douglas County, and then the funds that would have been used for those two counties are used specifically to fund the staff and the programs that the department provides instead of the county in Linn and Douglas County. So that's why you don't see any changes in terms of the dollar figures. What's actually happening is moving money from special payments to counties to the various personal services and services supplies, but there's not a net increase.
And I know I was just going to ask you, how does the cost compare, and if it's not any different, why does someone opt out? And
Mr. Chair, Representative Boone, there's lots of reasons that counties opt out. They are given the opportunity to opt out if the funding falls below a certain threshold level, which during for a time period during 2003-05 of the current biennium, it did drop below. Now, by the end of the biennium, it had been totally restored. These are the two counties that were did opt out. In the governor's budget, the governor's budget of $174 million for community correction grants is below the threshold level. But as you'll see here in a minute, the House co-chair or the House plan does add back to what the counties, I think, also view as full funding.
So then would Linn and Douglas take it back?
At this time, I do not think, and I'm looking at the department, that there are any plans for them to take it back. I know in at least one county, Douglas County, there were a number of other factors around sort of local budgetary factors that were playing into this.
Representative Henson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I certainly appreciate the 1.9 or the 190 million on this. One of the reasons counties are under pressure, could be under pressure to opt out, is I've heard one estimate that they local government subsidizes this program by as much as $100 million. So the cost shift, there's no question that if you take the grant that's going to the county and then you give it to the department to spend that same amount of money in that county, there's going to be no cost increases or savings. It's just a shift of who's going to spend that allocation. On the other hand, if you remove the subsidy that some counties may be providing, you're going to see a dramatic decrease in the size and scope and effectiveness of the programs that they're providing, that the state may not be able to provide the same level of service in those counties as the combination of the community correction grant and the local government subsidy, and that's going to vary from county to county and program by program. So we get a real bargain in terms of doing the combined programs and having them delivered locally, and I would hope that this ends the situation of the opting out. Consistency-wise, I would doubt that any county that opts out, it's not a case that people are going to opt out for 2 years and come back in, or it's a pretty significant step when somebody opts out.
And Grip Snake, wasn't it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, for the committee, I talked to my county commissioner yesterday, one of the three, and they were considering opting out last session because of the lack of state funding. If the Senate 8 number is what goes forth, there may be other counties that opt out, and that's going to put a bigger burden on the Department of Corrections. Mr. Wilson, what is the, based upon the funding, what does it come out to per day, per bed, or how does that funding go out to the county? It was so much per bed that they paid the county for or contracted for?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wilson, it really is a mixture of things. It you take a look at the caseloads for the local control of the 1145 population, and that is allocated at a rate of roughly $70 a day, if I remember right, for those that are incarcerated. And then there's a lot significantly less paid on a per-day basis for those that are only under supervision, who may be on parole or post-prison supervision. It all depends on the risk level as well as the type of assumed setting that they are in.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up.
Mr. Wilson, would you confirm then that there are counties that if the Senate number comes in that they may opt out? Do you think that's an could be a situation?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnett, I have heard, shall I say, rumors to that effect.
Thank you.
I don't think, and there has not been, I don't think, any formal action taken as a result. Continuing, Mr. Chair, package 90 or 090 is the governor's reductions, and you'll notice here that this is where there is a significant reduction to the community corrections program in the governor's budget of $18.5 million. And when we get a little lower, that will be changed. Package 801 is the PERS and AG rate reduction. You'll find in every division that has personnel costs associated with it. 810 is an increase of $15.7 million. This does a couple things. It reflects both the prison population forecast update and the community corrections forecast update in terms of caseloads between October 2004, when the governor's which the governor's budget is based on, and the April 2005 forecast, which is the updated. That actually saves a bit of money in this division, but at the same time, this is where the additional funding is put in to bring up the overall level of funding to the $190 million level in the House version of the budget. And Representative Wisnett is right. The Senate version has a figure that is roughly $8 or $9 million less at $181 million at this current time. That's the plan. So this does get it. This does get it back to the level, in our view, that counties would not be able to further opt out during the 05-07 by any if this level is maintained.
Okay.
Package 811 is the technical adjustments. You'll notice here that there's a negative $2.3 million. That really is the most of that is the transfer from, and I'm on page 17 of 26.
You said 811.
Did I say, well, 811, that's the problem with the printout. The header's at the bottom of page 16. We can't put page breaks in here. We are hoping to update this in the interim so it's easier to read. Part of this is where the reduction, where that reduction of $2 million in A&D treatment does sort of pop up in my numbers. So much of this is the transfer of that reduction from one division to this division. And again, for Representative Boone's sake, there was $2 million in A&D reductions and roughly $700,000 in education and cognitive program reductions in the governor's budget.
Okay.
And those are not restored in the House budget.
They're not.
They're
what
not.
About the Senate?
They are, at this time, there is $2 million restored for A and D in the Senate version.
Is there any discussion about requiring that programs continue?
There has been some discussion of that. I also, to the co-chairs, presented some numbers to both co-chairs saying that here are some savings that this subcommittee has generated, some of it already in this budget from the debt service changes, as I mentioned earlier, and said that the A&D reduction may be one you may want to consider down the line. But again, like I did in the Department of Justice budget, I caution you to wait until you know all of the public safety budgets and the problems or holes. You still have the state police, which does have some significant issues in it. Then I think it's the co-chairs as well as participation from the subcommittee then needs to sort of weigh what resources you have available from your actions or from other actions that may be available, and then weigh the alternatives and see what the best and highest or most, what is the best way to use those savings in filling holes. and I would, and I have identified the A and D hole in this budget as one of those holes to the co-chairs.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hannah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also have had discussions with Mr. Wilson and with our co-chair about the possibility of using the debt reduction savings against this A and D hole. I think it's top of mind with the co-chairs, and is a point to be closely considered as they complete this process.
Package 813, you'll see this type of package in a few of the divisions. When the department built the budget, a package you don't see, but it's part of the assumptions in building the budget called a mandated caseload package. They increased the number of positions that are related to the caseload increases, but in looking at them, I thought they were a little healthy compared to the rate of increase in the caseload. So I went back, asked a number of questions, and evaluated whether I thought they needed all the positions they requested in that package, or that they got in the governor's budget or not. And in this case, this represents the offender information unit, and it was my recommendation that you approve or don't approve two of the positions, 1.5 FTE, in the increases in the staff. This represents about 25% of the positions added in that mandated caseload package for this program. Package 814 is the reduction in S&S of 3%. In reality, this is the other place that was added back in of the total $3 million. And so the reduction in the S&S here is really only about 1.7% instead of the 3%. That was sort of the general rule.
Question. Henson.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson, even though this is reduced, though, in terms of how this division uses services and supplies, is it safe to assume that this amount will still be primarily cuts to education and substance abuse treatment?
Some of the reduction could occur in those items, and that's the reason I added the money, Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, back into this division, is because a large share of the services and supply are for the professional contracts for A&D and education, and so that is why some of the funds, $250,000, was added back in. Mm-hmm. It is probably not sufficient to offset the entire reduction.
So it minimizes it, but doesn't
it minimizes it. It adds most of it back. But again, I need to remind the subcommittee that any of these S&S reductions will have, you know, the department will just have to live with that level of reduction. Doesn't mean it's going to be in a specific location. We're not identifying which categories. We're leaving that to the division or the department to determine, because as they go through the biennium, they are much, much better judge of what they need than I can be at this point in the budget process. Mr. Chair, in terms of any issues in this division, I'm on page 5 of the memo. I think we've talked already about the community corrections grants, the opt-out threshold. Here we consider is either at the $181 or $182 million or the $190 level. It is unclear at this time because of the governor's budget changes the way that the funds are allocated, and this was described in the presentation as the band method. But in terms of what the House level at the $190 million figure is, I think it does meet for sure the threshold or the opt-out threshold level for sure. And so in this case, counties, it is our assumption that counties will not be able to opt out at the $190 million figure. It does go to say that this budget does not include any additional central administration staff or anything like that, that if further counties opt out, the agency will have to do some increased central administrative functions that they do not have the resources presently to do. If, you know, a number of smaller counties come opt out, or a number, or maybe even one or two large counties opt out, they may have to provide and push some resources that way. Page 6 at the top, this I'm just recognizing that there is a $2 million cut to A&D. It does eliminate a large portion of their treatment beds, and it is likely that A&D treatment will be limited to participants in their alternative incarceration program or those they identify at medium or high risk of committing crimes in the when released because of their A&D issues. And finally, we've talked, the last bullet there is around services and supplies, and I think we've talked about that already. And, Mr. Chair, that completes the transitional services division of our recommendations.
Questions of Mr. Wilson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would make a motion to the committee that we approve the LFO's recommended changes to the Department of Corrections Transitional Services Division, including the packages as listed and described by Mr. Wilson.
Okay, Representative Hanna moves that we accept LFO's recommendations relating to the transitional services portion of the DOC budget, including the various packages that have been described. Is there discussion? Representative Hansen.
Yeah, if I'm opposed to the amendment, we're basically looking at cutting A&D services during the midst of a meth epidemic. And I'll talk about this later, but this is just incredibly short-sighted.
Other comments? Is there objection other than Representative Hansen to this motion?
Not necessarily an objection at this point, because I'm going to hold out on what Mr. Wilson pointed out of the making sure this gets put in with our bucket with the other S&S savings in some areas. But I want to make a strong statement that I hope we do replace these A&D monies, because I think it's really important to do it. And I like what you said in the very last piece of where it's going to go. At least it's being resourceful, but I know that that's not going to be enough. So if we keep that in mind.
Okay, so do you object to the motion?
No.
Okay.
That's just a comment, I guess.
All right. With the sole objection of Representative Hansen, the motion carries. Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Chair, the next division is General Services Division. This provides multiple services to the institutions and other parts of the department. It includes the accounting, the information systems management programs, the distribution services, which provides food and other supplies to the institutions across the state and runs a central warehousing center, and also includes the central facility services for repair and maintenance. There are also, of course, repair and maintenance people at most, if not all, of the institutions. Going back to the table, I'm starting on page 11 of 26. Again, these aren't in order, but this will be the General Services Division. Package 090 is the governor's reduction.
Mr. Chair. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to backtrack here, and I think I'd like to put on the record, just so it's in the record, that the transitional service budget is a $17 million increase from last year and a 58 FTE. So I'd just like the record to note that this budget is $17 million and 58 people more than last year's budgets. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The last biennial?
Yes, sir.
Budget? Thank you for that additional note.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnett is right with, again, with the numbers, but I do want to point out that most of the position increase is due to the transfer of the county, the two county programs to the state. Mm-hmm. I think that were 48 positions. So, thank you. Going back to the General Services Division, the 090 package are the reductions in the governor's budget. In this case, it's an upward adjustment because the in developing the base budget, there were startup costs for Mattress, Shutter Creek, and Coffee Creek and Warner Creek that were mistakenly left out of the budget, so they were added at this point in the governor's budget process. The 095 package, you'll see in 12 of the largest agencies in state government. You'll see a similar package. This is a, it's a zero level here. It is a placeholder package for now that there'll be a bill at the end, somewhere toward the end of session, that moves positions between agencies and moves dollars within agencies' budgets to compensate for the computer and networking infrastructure consolidation project, also known as CNIC. This is a project or a program that is combining many of the sort of central data center functions of major agencies into a single unit under DAS, and this is a placeholder package at this time. You'll be dealing with that later in session. Package 163 is creation of
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If we could go back to package 090, Mr. Wilson, on the package contains $2.5 million startup costs for Madras, Shutter Creek, Coffee Creek, Warner Creek projects that were left out at the agency request. Could any or all of that be capitalized in COP issuance?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, there is roughly $7 million in the Madras project. I'm using this as an example of startup cost, and in working with the department and DAS, we identified roughly $2.5 million of those startup costs that could be financed through COPs. But in this, in the recommendations here, there has not been any of the any of those startup costs capitalized, but financed with COPs. So they're being paid totally during this biennium.
Okay. So, but this would be where we find it that a portion of this,
yes,
if a portion
if a
different
of those
policy decision
costs.
Was made, some of these. Okay. Thank you.
Package 163. Is the creation of two positions in the governor's budget. Actually, these positions already exist as limited duration. They were, as the department over the past few biennia have centralized their telephone systems into a single function that's centralized. They've used savings across the department to fund these limited duration positions. These are long-term expected savings, but they do need the two full-time or the two positions to continue to realize these savings and operate the centralized phone system of the agency. We are also recommending the governor's budget. There's the only adjustment to this is for the PERS rate reduction. 801 is the PERS reduction on most of the budget does not include the PERS reduction in the 163 we just made in package 163, and it also includes some AG reductions. Package 810 is the update in the forecast between the October 2004 and the April 2005 forecast for this division, and the total here is $367,000.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Wilson, can I back up to 801?
Mm-hmm.
Could you give a bit of an explanation on the AG rate being it's listed as a reduction from 119 to 111. Last biennium, what were we paying?
Last biennium, the cost was $98 per hour.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Follow-up?
Follow-up.
I just want to point out that, you know, as we've gone through this and we've had some discussion about this in numerous budgets, but you know, that rate went from 98 to 119, and we show the 119 as a reduction to 111. The bottom line is it's going from 98 to 111. And I want to make sure everybody understands this is not a reduction in their rate.
Would you explain why it's not indicated in this true increase?
Well, Mr. Chair, the recommendations you work off of are from the governor's budget. And so the governor's budget is based on $119 per hour. And so what the motions here are the reduction from the level that's assumed in the governor's budget.
Okay, thank you.
But Representative Hanna is right. The rate was $98.
Yeah.
And tradition usually says that the governor does not make the change in the AG rate in his process. It usually is delayed until the legislature comes along, and that's where the work is done on it. Package 810, I think I've covered. 811, which is actually the bulk of what's on the next page, page 13. This is the various technical adjustments that are made to the budget that I've mentioned. Again, there is no net impact on general fund. I did forget in the transitional services, I'll mention here real quick, there was an increase in other funds in transitional services, and that was to reflect the expected fee increase or fee revenue that comes out of the community corrections program for Douglas and Linn County. There was an other fund of, I believe, $1.2 million increase there. Package 812 is a change, is a reduction of $200,000 and the delay in hiring of two positions in the wireless program. Again, this is like the canteen program. This program was seen as a lower priority toward the bottom of the priority list, and the co-chairs had reviewed that list, and this is one of the reductions that came as a result of that review. Package 813 is a result of taking a look at the growth in the mandated caseload package. This is in the accounting area. There had been an increase of 9 positions in the governor's budget. In this package, I am suggesting or recommending that there only be an increase of 8 positions, a decrease of 1 position from the governor's budget. This still is a substantial increase, but the department had received a Secretary of State's audit during the current biennium that said that their accounting resources were insufficient. And so I think that the increase of 8 positions, even though the caseload will probably not generate that kind of increase, the issues in the Secretary of State's audit, as well as sort of the past lack of increases in this program as caseloads go up, do merit the addition of 8 positions. Package 814 is the 3% reduction in services and supply. Unlike the previous two divisions, there isn't an adjustment here from the 3%. And if I remember right, there are no issues on my memo from the General Services Division.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd make a motion to the committee that we approve LFO's recommended changes to the Department of Corrections General Services Division, including those packages listed and described by Mr. Wilson.
Is there discussion? Motion? Is there objection? May the record indicate that Representative Hansen has stepped away from the committee and so is not voting on this motion, and it is unanimously accepted. Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Chair, the next division is the Central Administration Division. This includes the Office of the Director, the Public Affairs Unit, Research Evaluation, Planning and Budget, Project Management, which is the folks that that have the department's role in the construction projects, and the Inspector General process or functions, which include investigations and hearings. That investigations and hearings make up the largest share of this staff that's in this division. If you turn to the table or the worksheets on page 8 of 26, next in the sequence, there is a very small reduction of $4,700 general fund in the 090 package, which is the governor's reduction. This represented, most of this is represents a decrease in the medical inflation rate. It is a very small amount relative to the budget. Package 190 is costs that are part of the issuance of COPs, as well as an increase in staff for the construction management program for the Madras site, as well as the Warner Creek project that is almost completed. The 3 positions for the Warner Creek will go away soon after that project will be complete, and the Madras project staff will come online and ramp up as that project starts. Some of that staff is already on board. As these are always limited duration positions because there are short-term projects. The only change from the governor's budget we're recommending here is the PERS-related reduction to this policy package. Package 801 is the general PERS and AG reduction for this division. The PERS reduction in this case is to that part of the budget for that is not a new policy package. Package 810 is the updated April 2005 forecast changes in this package. It is the delay of the hiring of some positions worth 3.5 FTE and a savings of just under $100,000. Package 811 is the technical adjustments. Again, there is no net increase in or no net impact on general fund as a result of the changes across the entire department. Package 813, again, is the comparison of that mandated caseload package staffing. This is in the investigations and hearings unit, again, in taking a look at the increase versus the caseload increase and taking into account sort of what's happened in the past. We are recommending that three of the positions that have been part of the governor's budget not be approved. These are phased-in positions during the biennium, and again, this represents about a quarter of the total number of increases based on the governor's budget in this area. Package 814 is the 3% services and supply cut, and Mr. Chair, that completes my recommendations on the central administration unit.
Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would make a motion that the committee approve LFO's recommended changes to the Department of Corrections Central Administration Division, including those packages listed and described by Mr. Wilson.
Representative Hanna moves that we accept LFO's recommendations, including the packages that for the central administration portion of the Department of Corrections budget.
Can I just ask a question? Yeah, thank you. On 814, I didn't grab you quick enough on this.
Okay.
How are these going to, I guess I wasn't following that. How are these cuts going to, that's a pretty big amount. Is that going to affect programs?
Mr. Chair, Representative Boone, as of with any agency that has state government service charges, which by definition every agency does, they will have to find these cuts elsewhere in their budget. Again, it's sort of similar to an undesignated cut. But these are the types of assessments that every agency has. They're large here because this is one of the largest.
Jesus, but they have the discretion to. Max will take it in a salary cut, right?
Other questions?
He's having a little problem over here.
I wish it was that large that I could actually take that cut.
I was hoping for that answer.
Representative Henson.
Well, that would be unfair because they're moving back down to legislative salaries without acknowledging the shift to classification.
Is there objection to the acceptance of the central administration portion of the Department of Corrections budget? Hearing none, it's unanimously approved. Mr.
The next division is the human resources. This is the personnel, includes labor management, recruitment, training, risk management, and payroll services. There aren't a great deal of changes in this. On page 19 of 26, the next division in your packet in the table, there's actually an increase in the 090 package, and this again is this. Just making sure all the startup costs are for the new mattress facility are in the budget. The 801 package is the PERS reduction and the Attorney General rate reduction. Package 810 at the bottom of page 19 and the top of page 20 is the update for this division in terms of the forecast between the October 2004 and the April 2005 forecast. Package 813 is, again, our sort of evaluation between the caseload increase and the staffing increase in the 040 mandated caseload package. In this case, is the personnel functions of the department. The staff had increased by almost 30% in this package. We are suggesting that that may be a little too healthy of an increase, and recommending that five of those positions not be recommended, that there were, I believe, 17 positions added in as part of that 040 package for this function, and we are suggesting that five of those 17 not be added.
Representative Hensel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Doug, how many of... I'm trying to sort this out in terms of the FTE increase. How many of these are related to the Madras prison expansion?
I would say, and I'd have to go look at my notes that are behind me, I would say roughly half of them are.
Half of the...
There wouldn't be all of them because some of them are Warner Creek.
All of the HR.
All of the HR matters?
Okay.
Okay.
Package 814 is this division's share of the 3% reductions. And these are, you know, general types of S&S costs that all agencies have for this division.
Okay.
And, Mr. Chair, I think that is the remainder of my issues for human resources.
Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd make a motion to approve LFO's recommended changes to the Department of Corrections Human Resources Division, including those packages as listed and described by Mr. Wilson.
Representative Hanna moves that the DOC budget portion relating to human resources as presented by LFO be approved, including the packages that have been described. Is there discussion? Is there objection? So carried.
Continuing, the next unit is the debt service. We've talked a bit about this already. And going through this, I think everyone understands what the debt service is for. About $101 million is for the payment of existing debt for COPs that have already been issued. And in terms of the governor's budget, if you take a look on the table or the worksheets, package 190 on page 22, the governor included another $16 million for the new COPs. And our recommendation recognizes that $16 million, but after DAS, as well as the department, reviewed the actual needs based on more up-to-date information, both on the size of the proposed COP issues, the updated information on rates and timing of those issues, that there is the better information shows that there is a need for $2.9 or almost $3 million less. And I believe everyone agrees, the three parties involved, LFO, DOC, and BAM, agree to that number. So instead of a $16 million increase for the new debt, or the new COPs, it will be just slightly over $13 million. Package 802, this is the review of the trustee accounts that I talked about earlier. The review of those accounts and using the other fund resources in those accounts that are not necessary to fulfill their obligations, that $2.4 million can be used to offset the need for general fund debt service in 0507. I do warn you that this is a one-time saving, so that money must be added back in future biennia. This is a one-time saving. I believe that's it. Yes, it is.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would make a motion that this committee approve Department of Corrections Debt Services Division, including the packages as listed and described by Mr. Wilson.
Representative Hanna moves that LFO recommendations relating to debt service portion of the DOC budget with the described packages 190 and 802 be accepted. Is there discussion? Representative Hensel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Obviously, some good work has been done on this, and I'm not not critical of the numbers. I will oppose this motion because I think one of the ways that we can improve, that this budget could have been improved in some of the some of the areas that I've suggested it needs improvement would be by capitalizing the interest and some of the startup costs. And so just to be consistent, I'll vote be opposing the debt service motion also.
Further discussion on the motion? Is there objection other than that made by Representative Hansen? If not, then with the understanding that Representative Hansen is objecting, the motion carries. Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Chair, the next unit is the capital improvements. These are for projects and deferred maintenance and asset protection projects that have a value or cost of less than $500,000. If they're over $500,000, they become capital construction. That's a distinction that are part of the budget rules, for lack of a better term. Going to the table or the set of the worksheets, package 191 is a $240,000 increase in other funds. The revenue here is from the sale of property here in the Salem area to the county, and the proceeds, which equal $240,000, will be used for some tank, underground tank cleanup at the distribution warehouse just on the other side of the freeway down State Street that the department owns. That is to comply with DEQ requirements, something they do have to do. Package 814, then, is the 3% reduction in services and supplies and capital outlay. In this case, it represents a little over $62,000. The only issue I just want to raise here, this is an area that I always have concern on, given the age of many of the facilities for the Department of Corrections. A study in 1996 showed over $60 million in needs. They have fixed some of those, but there still remain over $40 million of those needs and probably some more, and that this $2 million really doesn't go very far. But we also don't have any funds to put into this anymore.
Okay. President Hammond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd make a motion that the committee approve LFO's recommended changes to the Department of Corrections capital improvements budget, including those two packages as listed and described by Mr. Wilson.
Representative Hanna moves we accept LFO's recommendations relating to the capital improvements portion of the Department of Corrections budget, including packages 191 and 814. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none. Motion carries. Mr. Wilson.
Chair, the final unit is the capital construction unit. This is where, when you build a large project over $500,000 in value or cost, this is where it ends up. This limitation is different than all other limitation. It has a lifespan of 6 years compared to the 2-year period for the operations budget. It just reflects that many projects take more than 2 years to complete, so the limitation is in existence. What is different here is the governor included $145 million in limitation, and we are recommending that all $145 million be taken away, but that is purely a bookkeeping effort. This bill will not include the limitation for the capital outlay. The next bill that is on today's agenda will, so it's being taken out of this bill. It also saves $145 million on the bottom line. This bill, I guess, would be the good news. But there is the companion bill. The next one on your agenda, we will discuss this $145 million as part of that budget.
Short-term
saving. Yeah, because we're taking $145 million.
Okay, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would make a motion the committee approve LFO's recommended change, including the one package 190, to the capital construction budget for Department of Corrections.
Representative Hanna moves we accept LFO's recommendations relating to the capital construction portion of the Department of Corrections budget, including package 190. Is there discussion?
Was not to like.
Is there objection? Hearing none. Motion carries.
You should object to this.
Mr. Chair, that is the at this stage the completion of my recommendation on the budget portion of this. still have the performance measures, but a motion there on page 9 of my memo has the appropriation bill amendments. Also in front of you, I believe, should be a copy of House Bill 5016. I'm just showing that you for this is what the budget bill will look like. This happens to be the joint budget, but the two budget bills will look very similar to it. And then the motion there on the bottom of page 9 makes changes into this bill and then folds the language of this bill into House Bill 5156, which is the budget in front of you.
The bottom of page 10, this one?
The bottom of page 9 will make the changes.
Okay, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would make a motion to the committee that LFO's recommended amendment to the text of HB 5016 into HB 5156 with the listed changes be approved.
Representative Hanna has moved that we accept LFO's recommendation that the proposed amendments of the text of House Bill 5016 be made part of House Bill 5156 with the changes that are set forth on page 9 of the recommendations, which are a part of today's hearings. Is there objection? Or is there comment first?
Hanson. I object just based on consistency with my other objections that led to these numbers.
Is there further comment? Is there objection other than that expressed by Representative Hanson? Hearing none, motion carries.
Mr. Chair, then on page 10, the last item here before the final motion on this bill is performance measure review. You should have that table in front of you. Briefly, though, there are on the right-hand column of your table, a far right is just a little perspective I've put in that shows either in 2004 or 2003, in some cases, what the actual history was. But briefly, what is being proposed here, and this was discussed in the joint committee or subcommittee, they're deleting performance measure number 3, which had measured recidivism for inmates reintegrated in the community.
I'll tell you what, why don't we just take a moment and read through this rather than go through them individually. If there's any questions, we can discuss them. Questions or comments about changes in the performance measures, Representative Hanson?
Well, not really a question on the change, but on the first one, percentage of inmates in compliance with 40-hour work education requirements of Constitution ballot measure 17. Our target is 80%. It just seems interesting to me in state government that we have something where we're saying that our goal is to be 80% compliant with the Constitution of the state of Oregon. But maybe that's as constitutional as we can get on this particular one.
With health considerations, mental considerations, and other...
Well, I'm sure there are other considerations for people that can't participate, although I think those aren't... they're in compliance. If someone is ill or can't work or whatever, they're in compliance. So it's
okay.
Anyway, I'm I hope it doesn't become a trend that we have 20% non-compliance with the Constitution in other areas.
The concern is noted. Any other questions? Not. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd make a motion to the committee that we approve LFO's recommended listing of the performance measures for the Department of Corrections.
Representative Hanna has moved that our committee accept the LFO recommendations relating to performance measures for the Department of Corrections. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, motion carries. Ready for a final motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move House Bill 5156 as amended to the full House Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation.
President Hanna makes a final motion that our committee move House Bill 5156 as amended to the full House Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Henson.
Mr. Chair, I will oppose the main motion. I've alluded to some of the reasons before. Biggest concern are the cuts to the A&D programs. This just simply isn't the time to be doing that. There are other, I'm concerned a little bit with, or I'm concerned a great deal with the process in terms of the split between the Senate committee and the House committees. As we move forward to sine die, I have less and less confidence that we're going to be able to fix all the problems that we're passing on. My assumption is that we should be giving these our absolute best evaluation of the problems and the solutions and how to best utilize resources and pass as good a budget as we can now. And when we see things that in our judgment just don't fit, I think we should be talking about them now. I think we should be correcting them now rather than hoping that they'll be settled in the future, because I'm in my fourth term, and in the stampede sometimes to finalize all of these budgets, important considerations can be left out. There's been some very good work on this budget. I'm very pleased with the $190 million for community corrections. But in terms of the cuts to A&D, then we have an $8 million unspecified cut. We know that's going to come through vacancies. But because of the nature of this business, the fact that they have to post, they have posted corrections positions that have to be filled, disproportionately we're going to see a great many of these vacancy cuts are going to be in program areas, be it medical areas, be it A&D, be it counseling, whatever. Those will disproportionately receive the cuts rather than the posted positions that we simply can't allow to go vacant. So that puts more pressure on the programs that can give us probably our greatest benefits to recidivism. The $250,000 cut to the canteen, that just adds to the $2 million and the $8 million. The $4 million that's still the 3% cut in services and supplies, again, is going disproportionate. There, you can't do a 3% cut to utilities. You can't do a 3% cut to the fixed costs. So it's going to end up disproportionately falling on the contractual services for A&D treatment, which just tends to maximize. This is like a snowball as it rolls through the department. It keeps picking up more and more weight. The net impact is we're going to have less alcohol and drug treatment at a time when I think virtually everybody in the state is saying more is needed. And I just can't see passing a budget forward that is that fundamentally flawed in an area that we're saying is one of the most important crises that the state's facing. So with that said, I'll be a no vote on this.
Further discussion? Clerk will call the roll. Sorry, Representative Panna.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Representative Hansen as well, potentially that was the glass is half empty side.
Mm-hmm.
The glass is half full side might be that there is still the possibility that the A&D cuts could be restored from the debt savings piece that we've had discussion about, and there's been much discussion about that, and though I don't have the experience Representative Hansen does, to this point, those who have given assurances that those things would be considered have not failed at considering those, and as we've seen in the restoration of the $2.75 million in S&S cuts, there are folks who are willing to hear our discussions and make changes. The $190+ million for community corrections, I really believe, has a great deal to do with the work the counties did in terms of being here earlier in the session and talking about the importance of that. And again, I think the co-chairs listened closely. And then again, in this budget, we've listened closely to the director and the department in terms of forecasting. We're finishing Warner Creek, and we'll get it up and fully operational and have a go-ahead on Madras here. And I think as we move forward in our Oregon Department of Corrections, this will be seen as a fairly monumental process, and it's something that has taken a great deal of work, and we hope that the projections are correct and that our correctional system is better off for it.
Further comments or discussions? Representative Wisnett.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, thank you. I'd just like to say that Representative Hansen and Representative Hanna and I worked with the Department of Corrections for the last 4 or 5 months. They've been very professional in their organization, their presentations. And for me to actually visit the prison sites at Coffee Creek in the state prison, I think we're very worthwhile. I think all of our citizens should see that, because I still get questions from citizens, well, what about all those TVs and how great they're living? My 19-year-old intern toured with us, and she definitely says, I don't want to live there. And so I think we're providing public safety with what we have. We'd like to do better, but we have to fund everything, including K-12 and human services, and I think that this is a fiscally responsible budget for public safety. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion? Hearing none, clerk call the roll.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Hanna?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Woodnett?
Aye.
Chair Richardson?
Aye. So with that, House Bill 5156 has moved to the full House Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Period.
And we carry the Representative Hanna, and we will go ahead and close this work session and open the work session for House Bill 5157, Department of Corrections Capital Construction.
Mr. Chair, I just passed out, or should be in front of you, a description of the bill. As proposed, amended, a half a page, and then a conceptual amendment, a handwritten engrossment to the original 5531, which was the joint bill. I hope everyone has that in front of them. Oops. I took yours. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Let me go through the, on the front page there, the bullet points of what this as amended, proposed amended to do. This bill generally reflects the need of the agency to move ahead with the Madras project, makes changes in some of the projects that are underway or that have been completed to bring them in line with costs, and also extends the date for the construction of a couple of the Madras and the Coffee Creek project, as well as two of the local projects that are still underway or have just been completed. Major features of the bill include a reduction in the amount required for the Powder River facility in Baker expansion. That has been completed, and the cost was significantly less than they had originally thought. The Coffee Creek facility, even with the expansion, proposing a reduction from $171 million in the capital construction limitation to $155 million. That is the result of significant savings. Those savings have already been realized during the 2001-03 and the current biennium's budget in terms of the debt service reductions and other changes that were able to take place. There is an increase in the authorized amount for the construction of Shutter Creek by about $1.5 million, and that is the facility down in the Coos Bay North Bend area. The reason for that increase was the project has been delayed over time. The department was dealing with some water system related issues with the city or county down in that portion of the state, and for prison population forecast reasons the project was delayed, but as a result the cost went up a little bit, or by $1.5 million. There's an increase in the amount authorized for Madras from the current $59 million to $190 million. The $190 million reflects what the best estimate today of what that will cost, but the $59 million figure, to make sure you understand that that's not some gigantic increase in the cost estimates, the original 59 only contemplated those costs associated with the site work, the planning, as well as a 432-bed minimum facility. So going to 190 includes all the medium security beds, which are a little bit over 1,200 plus another 400 or 432 minimum beds. And then finally, the dates in the laws, there are expiration dates for projects. This bill would expand or extend those dates for the Madras and Coffee Creek facilities because they have been delayed from their original time periods or expanded. In the case of Coffee Creek, keep in mind in the prison forecasts made just not too long ago, there was no thought of expanding the women's prison significantly. But the prison forecast for the women's population has increased much greater than they thought, and there's a current project underway expanding that facility. And finally, two of the local projects for the Senate Bill 1145 facilities are extended for Multnomah County, whose project is now complete in their final stages of settling the contracts, and the Clatsop County facility is underway, is being constructed now at this time, and both those expiration dates are proposed to be extended. Mr. Winter or Williams is at the table, so he must have a suggested change.
Can you finish with your question?
Yes, I am.
Okay, is there any clarification that needs to be made by Director Williams?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I apologize for the intrusion. In reviewing the conceptual amendments for Senate Bill 5531, particularly with respect to the dates, I'd call the committee's attention to page 3, what is identified as the conceptually amended section 4 with the expiration dates. We noted what we believe is just having picked up the dates from the insert of language with respect to the Multnomah County Community Correction Project and the Clatsop Project. The actual on lines 20 and 21, the women's correctional facility and the Madras construction dates, we believe that those dates are supposed to be February 28, 2008 and November 30, 2008, respectively. That was just probably an oversight as the conceptual version of the bill was being drafted, and we wanted to point that out before the committee adopted the conceptual amendments.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
We're on page 3, which is the last page of this packet. Line 21, where it says intake center complex, and instead of 31 December 05, it should be February 28, 2008. And in the next line, which is 22, instead of 30 June 06, it should be November 30, 2008. So if we can go ahead and annotate those two corrections.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I was going to ask that too, but what's crossed out is actually later than what's in there, and I didn't.
Mr. Chair, I apologize. I made that mistake. It looks like I probably picked up the same dates for Multnomah and Clatsop and used them.
Above.
Yes, so that will I will make sure in the amendment being drafted by council that that is right.
Okay, any questions of Mr. Wilson? Representative Hensley?
Well, not a question, but a comment. I do appreciate the fact that the two Democrats on this committee are getting special treatment in their counties.
Absolutely. So. We want to make sure that that's understood. Fair and balanced. Okay. Is there anything else that needs to come up?
Just a motion to amend the bill.
All right. Representative Wisnett?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee approve and pass to the full committee Senate Bill 5531 with amendment. Okay.
Mr. Chair, just to make sure, the bill, this is a conceptual amendment, so you'd want to amend House Bill 5157, which is the bill in front of you, with this conceptual amendment, and then pass House Bill 5157 to the full would be the proper motion, or okay. Set of motions.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the conceptual amendments to Senate Bill 55.
That's House Bill?
To House Bill. Well, I thought we were amending this one with the House Bill.
Mr. Chair, I would phrase the motion that you are make the conceptual amendment to House Bill 5157.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move that we accept the conceptual amendments to House Bill 5157 as presented to us by Mr. Wilson, LFO.
Okay, Representative Wisnett moves that House Bill 5157 be amended with the recommendations that we've received from LFO. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none. 5157 is amended.
Mr. Chair, I would recommend that the committee approve and send to the full committee with a due pass recommendation the amended HB 5157.
Actually, is that what is going to be heard at full committee?
Yeah.
All right. Representative Wisnett moves that House Bill 5157 as amended go to the House Budget Committee, full committee, with a due pass recommendation as amended. Is there a comment? Is there objection? Hearing none. Carried. And I need a carrier for this bill.
I'll carry that one. I'll carry it.
You want to carry it? Sure, absolutely. All right. Are terminating the work session on House Bill 5157. We want to again commend Director Williams and your staff and all the hard work that you've put in to help LFO get the accurate information and all the work you're doing. Try and give you the tools to continue, and hope that these areas where there are some holes that they will be filled, in that the ultimate final bill at the end of the session will be what is needed for us not only to continue the work of incarceration but rehabilitation as well. Is there any further discussion for our committee?
Representative, well, I may as well throw in my 2 cents here too, and I hope that along with this we'll continue to work toward more activity in prevention so that we can eventually see these numbers go down, both in people and in dollars. For that reason,
certainly.
The long haul. I realize that. Big job.
Without further comments, discussion, then our meeting is adjourned.